So this morning, we're going to talk about what's in a name. That's the sermon title today, and I'll be a little shorter today as we enter Advent season. Typically, my sermons are shorter. Some of you are saying amen already, and so it's all good. So what is a name? Now, if I was to say certain names to you, you might think of certain people, and certain names come to mind when I think of, like, let's say, I won't use the name in particular, but if you think of a name, perhaps of someone in your life, or you hear about a name, certain memories come up when you hear about, oh, I know such and such has that name, and you think of, oh, I know, let's say Jack. I'll pick on Jack for a second. If you're a Jack here, I'm not picking on you. I know a guy named Jack, and then you start thinking about the people you know in your life that are named Jack, and you're thinking, oh, I met a Jack once, wasn't a huge fan, you know, and so on and so forth. And we can do that with names, and names matter to us. And you have a name this morning. Your parents gave you a name. You perhaps have a middle name. Not everybody has a middle name. You have a last name as well. So there are names that matter and names that we've all been given as well. And I remember when I was dating my wife, Laura, and my name is Mesh, my first name. And she asked me what my middle name was. And my last name, just so you all know, is Hit. So it's Mesh and it's Hit. Then she asked me what my middle name was, and this was technically our first date, and I said, my middle name is Izza. And she's thinking about it, Izza. And she's like, Mesh is a Hit? Like, yeah. I'm like, that's my middle name. And she's like, are you serious right now? I go, what do you think? So, no, it wasn't. Now, for some of you who didn't get that joke, we could talk later after the service. But my middle name is not Izza, in case you're wondering. It's Kumar. Mesh Kumar Hit. My son's middle name is Kumar as well. And my wife's middle name is Laura Hit. It's not Hit. Her previous name was Ekval. So Marie is her middle name. So anyways, just to think about names. Now, names matter today because we're all given a different name. Now, names also mattered in the Old Testament and in the Bible. And typically what would happen is your name would actually go with your reputation. And parents often gave their names that would describe the hope in the future, possibly, for their children. And literally, the name is translated in the Old Testament as to mean a mark or a brand. So think about that, too. When you think about, you know, apparel and clothing, they have a name brand to it. And just like our names that we've been given, it's a brand for us as well. And their names were given in the biblical times for a reason. And that happens today as well. People give up very specific names for specific reasons for their children because those names matter. When we were naming our children for our kids, we didn't know what we were having, whether it be a boy or a girl. And Laura and I would talk about names, and I would often suggest names. And typically when I would suggest a name, she would either give me feedback right away or it would be complete silence. And the silence meant she's not interested in that name whatsoever. So, you know, as men, you would lob out a few names here and there, and you would think this would be kind of cool. Like, if I had a puppy, I would probably call it Pamplemousse. I love that name. I'm not sure why, which means what? You guys are good. Well done. Well done. Anyways, we were naming our son, and what happened was there was a... it's not a profound story. It's not a... spiritual story, but so please don't judge me on this. My in-laws had a bottle of Amarula, I believe it was, and there was an African elephant on there, and the name was Joa. And I remember seeing this picture and looking at this bottle, and one day I was in the office, and this was her old home in somewhere else, and I shouted out to her a few names, and I said, what about the name Joa? And she responded pretty quickly. She goes, oh, I'll put that on the list, which is great. Now, Joa means brother of God. And so we picked out that name. Not knowing it actually meant that, I actually just really like the name. Now, when you think about names, that names matter. And the Bible talks about different names as well. Abraham was that father of multitude. Jacob's name meant trickster. Goliath, which means splendor. And in the Bible, too, we look at Matthew 1. What does it say about Jesus' name? It says this, Matthew 1, that she gave birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So God the Father named Jesus that name because he's going to save all people from their sins. It's an amazing thing when you consider that as well. Philippians 2:9-11 says this, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, it's powerful when you think about that. When you think about this name of Jesus, when the name is mentioned, everybody will bow their knee. That's how special the name of Christ is. You know, we sang the song this morning, Emmanuel, which means God with us. It reveals a supernatural baby. And it reveals that Jesus was not just another child, but God in human flesh. And the Bible tells us this in Philippians 2. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. You know, powerful when you think about that. That's the name of Christ and why he came. You know, when you look at the scripture here, and it's powerful when it says this again, and in one of the verses it says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Love that. That Jesus came with the heart of a servant. And his name matters to us today as we consider the season, but our day-to-day of his life as well. His birth was supernatural. And we've heard that over the years, if you're a Christ follower. But do we fully recognize that? That it was a supernatural event, the way it took place. And we can't get lost in that, to forget how it happened, because it reminds me how powerful our God is that we serve. Isaiah 7 says this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel. You know, Jesus was born without any sin. 1 Peter says he committed no sin. He had no deceit found in his mouth. So we think about the name of Christ, so many images come to mind. And we can see here, he has reason to come, and there's power in his name as well. The Bible tells us that the battle we are in is not of the flesh, but we are in a spiritual battle. And Jesus is the ultimate warrior. He is in the front lines with us. And we stand with him, we lean in with him, and to know full well. So his name reveals who he is. It reveals who he is. It reveals his purposes for us. The name of Jesus saves all sinners. There's power in that. We are told what in Scripture, I'll read that for us, in John 3:16. And we've seen this verse, we've heard this verse. And if you haven't, it's powerful and it's beautiful. John 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now, the word begotten essentially means, in different translations, chosen one, separated, to come, the unique one, the only one. So when you see that word begotten, that's what it means. That only Jesus can save us from our sins. It tells us what in the Bible, that Jesus came to do what? To set the captives free, to give us freedom. What does the Bible say? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Again, that's why Christ came, to save us, to help us to live freely without being in bondage of sin. And when sin comes knocking at our door, we can say with full confidence that God has given us the tools and the resources to fight and to flee from that sin, to run away in the opposite direction. The Bible actually tells us that, to flee from sin because of Christ. Do you know that promise this morning? Do you know the truth of who Christ is in your life? Do you flee sin? Do you run to Christ? Do you know who he is in your life today? You know, Christ came to redeem us, and he went to the cross, and because of the work on the cross, we live today. And what does the Bible say about this in Galatians 2? I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Do you know that hope today? Now, when I say that in a way, too, not just for folks who are trying to find Christ today, that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, for those of us as well that have walked with Jesus for a long time, do we know that Christ lives in us, that we are no longer slaves to sin, that we can lean into Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit because he is the everlasting. He is the I am. He's exactly who he says he is. He's eternal. He's always existed. He's always been there. And because of him, we live today. And maybe you've come here this morning and you've perhaps have lost the focus of what that means in your life today. Because there's things in this world that have taken over your life. Maybe other relationships that are causing you to downfall. Maybe your eyes aren't focused on Christ as it used to be. That you're now distracted by other things that aren't going to last, that are vapor. And as we think about Advent, we think about Jesus coming. It's a reminder for us to recognize that he came for a reason. He was born to die for our sins. And I hope you know that today, because when we know the good news of Christ in our life, and we live that joy and the hope and the peace of that, our days, our life will be much more full of peace, much more full of joy. And it becomes not about us anymore. It becomes about Jesus. And that's a good thing to be in. That's a good place to be in. Don't let the world or anyone tell you that Jesus is not exactly who he says he is, because he is exactly who he says he is. Amen? Do you know that today? Do you know that today? I hope you do. There needs to be an awakening in our spirits. There needs to be a time where we wake up from our slumber and we rejoice and we know, because in this life we will face many trouble. And what does the Bible tell us though? In John 14, it's a beautiful verse. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I not give to you as the world gives, and do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. How many of us this morning, our hearts are troubled? How many of us this morning have come today, those watching online as well, whose hearts are troubled, that perhaps you're afraid of something today? Is that you today? If that's you, I'm going to encourage you to know that there is a peace in Christ that is everlasting, that is not temporary. Now, does it mean every day of our life is going to be easy? It doesn't mean we're not going to fight with our spouse. It doesn't mean we're going to have neighbors and have disagreements. It doesn't mean we're going to have problems at the workplace. It doesn't mean any of those things. But what it does mean, when conflict comes, when this world smacks us in the face, that we lean into the peace and the depth of hope that comes in Christ. It's unwavering. Nothing can knock it out ever. And I think for us as Christ followers, sometimes we forget what's in the name. What is in the name of Christ? See, there's not much in my name. There's not much in your name either. There's not much in any human's name. But there's power in the name of Christ. He's the source of our salvation. He gives us hope in our hearts. He frees us from the bondage of sin. See, bondage of sin means you're tied up, that you're held captive to sin. Do you feel that way today? Do you feel like the shackles of this world and the choices we're making are completely keeping in bondage? But what does the Bible tell us? That Jesus came to free us, to give us hope. He can lift the greatest of burdens. He can comfort the broken heart. He can absolutely do that. And I think what's important to recognize too, that sometimes we in the church, universally, when we go through tough times, or we lose a loved one. And I've heard this said, and it breaks my heart when I hear this, that, well, if you lost a loved one, or if you're going through tough times, you can't mourn, you can't cry, You can't be sad because of Jesus. Well, you can cry. You can mourn. You can have tears. But Jesus turns those tears and that pain into joy. And he gives us the strength to keep going. So friends, you come today, it's okay to mourn. It's okay to weep. It's okay to cry if you've lost a loved one. That's a part of the journey we're on. Don't ever tell someone, no, you cannot do that because you're Christ's follower. What I'm saying to you is we can come in brokenness in front of Jesus because he's exactly who he says he is. And he is worthy of our praise. His name matters. His name unlocks the doors to heaven. And he's good. And he closes the gates of hell, is what he does for those who are Christ followers today. And as we come into the season of Advent, and we think about who Jesus is, just be encouraged that he is our Savior. And he's come. And as you've come here today, and I know that as we think about this question this morning about knowing Christ, and I'm going to ask that question simply this morning is, do you know him? And not in a sense of saying, well, I do know him. See, we all know lots of things. See, I could stand up here and say, I know Justin Trudeau, our prime minister. I know a famous athlete. You could go on. I know of them. I know of athletes. I know of stars and people in Hollywood, which I really don't care about. I care about their salvation. And I know of them. And just like you may know of certain people, but you may have known Christ. You may know of him. You've heard the name. You've come to church. You celebrated Christmas. You've lit an Advent candle in your home. You know of Jesus. But do you know him? Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you have an intimate relationship with him? Do you understand what it means to know Christ? And not just go through the motions, but to fully understand that when I sin, there's a conviction from the Holy Spirit, and that our heart has now gotten so hard that we simply don't even see the darkness of our choices. And some of you are probably hearing that this morning going, wow, that's pretty heavy to say. No, that's the truth, because here's the deal. If we are so far gone in our faith with Christ, and we don't sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit anymore, we need to worry. We need to wake up. Because when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes, it brings repentance of the heart. And that's what we need to understand. And when we know Christ, these things I mentioned, the burden, the brokenheartedness, the choices we make, they're going to be handled with much more peace because of Christ. So friends, do you know Christ this morning? Do you know him? Just be some questions on the screen. They're not there, okay? There they are. So there's the questions right there. The name above all names. Do you know about Jesus or do you know him? There's a big difference. So I want you to think about that for a second. Chew on that question. Do you know Christ? Do you know the depths of his forgiveness? Do you know the depths of his joy and his peace? Are you looking to other things in this world to fill your heart? Or are you looking to Christ? Now, when I ask these questions, it's a question for me just as much as for you. But if we can figure this out, if we can figure what it means to know Christ, I believe that when we enter the season of Advent or any other day in our life, there's something different about our perspective and our outlook, because we're looking at our life through the lens of eternity as well. And everything that we do on this earth matters for the kingdom. Do you know Jesus? I hope you do. And if you come here today and you are far from God, or there's something in your life that's keeping you from getting closer to Christ, and you want to chat about that or pray about that, I'm available. Others will be available as well. See, as I mentioned earlier about being in Heather's hospital room, and I'll wrap up with this. And as she was laying there, nobody knew when she was going to pass away. And why I share that is because we are living on borrowed time. We are living on borrowed time. I think we get so caught up in this life, and it's okay to plan, but we don't know what's going to happen after we leave church today. That's not a morbid thought. That's just the reality of life. And I hope before you leave today in your life that you know Christ, that you know him intimately. You just don't know him because you come to church, because that doesn't make you a Christian. Singing hallelujah songs doesn't make you a Christian. Singing worship songs doesn't make us a Christian. Give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, confessing your sins, accepting him, acknowledging who Jesus is, and giving your life to him and living for him makes you a Christ follower. As we stumble towards heaven every single day, because none of us have it all together. But you know who does? Jesus. And he is the name above all names. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that your name is above all of our names. I thank you that we can look to you for hope, for encouragement, for our salvation. And Lord, I pray for those this morning that have come, that maybe we've gone through the motions of faith, we've attended church, we've said the right things, we've done the right things. We serve, we give, but there's something so missing in our life. There's no real joy there. There's no hope, there's no peace. And perhaps we don't know you as well as we think we actually do. So Lord Jesus, I pray the Holy Spirit would come now and search all of our hearts, not out of a guilt or condemnation, but to simply check where we're at with you so we can know the depths of your joy and your peace and your hope by a desire of our heart to wanting to know you intimately, to know you well, to know how you're leading us. So Jesus, help us to come fully with an open heart to do that. Thank you, Jesus. You are the name above all names, that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And for those in our life, those people we know that are far from you, Lord Jesus, give us the words to say. Help us to plant those seeds, not to feel pressure that we have to convert anyone, but Lord, just to have enough understanding of the gospel, but also to recognize the difference you've made in our life, and that we want to give the hope and the promise of that away to other people. So Lord, work in us first so we can be overflowing in the midst of pain and confusion and hurt, that we're overflowing with peace and with joy. In Jesus' name.